Welcome to Ground Zero, the clash of punk rock and politics. You are about to enter the Remzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Remzo Republic, a great place for great conversations about awesome things. And it's all about liberty here. It's all about open minds and open markets. And speaking of open minds, we're going to kind of take a step back from current events. I want to discuss something more topical. I want to discuss something that has been popping up on my radar lately, especially as the show has grown, thanks to your support, thanks to you, the listeners at home, wherever you are. This is something that I think a lot of you have also probably thought of, because I'm getting emails, I'm getting messages, I'm checking Twitter every now and again, and this is a common trend I'm seeing. It's strange, because I wouldn't think in a, let's just call it a post-Obama mentality, this would still be an issue, but it is. It's this idea that making money is bad, and taking pride in your success is sinful. Now, here's the thing. Let's look at our friends on the left. Money is the root of all evil. People that want to be rich and people that want to make money and people that want to be financially independent and successful, that's rude. That's selfish. That's wrong. And now we have my friends on the right. Money is sin. To want to be successful and boast about your success and to want to be bigger, to want to be more financially independent, that's wrong. That's sinful. That's just, that's evil. Why are both these sides saying this? Because for a while, at least when Obama was president, my friends on the right would say, you should be able to make as much money as you want. We need to celebrate entrepreneurs and capitalists. And now suddenly, gotta get those hedge funders. Gotta make sure people get those windfall profits. Remso, you're boasting about your show and your program and the fact that you're able to bring on staff and you're just doing better. You know, you should consider giving more of that away. You should consider being a little more humble. That's the problem I'm hearing. And I want to go ahead and introduce our guest. His name is William Thomas from the Atlas Society. Sir, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So you kind of heard my spiel. You kind of heard the thing that's bugging me. So here's my thing. Am I on the right for saying that I should be happy with my success, or am I just a greedy
Well, I'm an advocate of the philosophy of objectivism, and we hold that everyone should pursue a proud life, pursue their own rational self-interest, and we think, of course, if you earn your money in a fair way, you earn your money by freely trading with people, being honest with people, then you should be very proud of what you've achieved.
Bingo.
And in that context, I should just say, I think we often have an odd idea of pride because we're really taught to think of it as comparative. That is, I'm proud because I'm better than somebody. I'm proud because I need to be superior. But to be proud is really to love yourself, to love what you're doing, however you relate to other people, to love what you're doing and the course that you've chosen in your life. And so to choose your right course and be successful, that's a fine and wonderful thing. And if more people would do it, the world would be a better place.
Exactly. And it really shocks me because, you know, let's just bring up two very stereotypical examples, no one in specific, but, you know, look at your person on the left, your progressive, your Bernie lover, your person who has maybe a secular worldview telling me that I should, you know, money is evil and I should not be happy and I should think about others. And then you have someone who's on the right who probably has a more biblical worldview, who's more conservative, saying money is sinful, everything is wrong. Why do you think there's such this eat the rich, this attack success, this money is bad mentality? Do you think it's something that is, you know, is just inherent in individuals? Do you think it's something that we've come up to as a culture? Why can two different people from two different outlooks of life come to the same conclusion when it comes to something which is obvious? I mean, I'm not stealing from anyone. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not looting. I'm not doing wrong. I'm providing services to people. I'm giving something away that people want. And because of that, I'm happy when I succeed with it. Where do you think this mentality is coming from?
Well, I think we have to understand that, sadly enough, the ethics are people taught, that people are taught, the ethics that people are taught, comes from thousands of years ago. Think of the Bible. Well, heck, think of most major religions. They were founded at a time when people lived mostly as peasants. There was very little economic growth from year to year. The rich who were rich were the conquistadors. They were the emperors. They were the conquerors. They were the people who had taken and robbed. Think of how Julius Caesar became wealthy in the Roman Empire. He became wealthy by conquering and looting the Gauls. That's how he became wealthy. And then we have an ethic, and this ethic is very present in the Christian Bible, that says that the meek shall inherit the earth, that the rich are inherently evil, that money is the root of all evil, that we will cast the money changers from the temple, and commerce is not to be celebrated, it's not to be praised. And that's become part of the whole ethics. And so the ethics, people say that the greatest good is to serve others. One of the great modern secular ethics is utilitarianism. Do the greatest good for the greatest number. The philosopher Peter Singer is quite right that what that implies is you live on a starvation wage and you give everything away to everyone else that you possibly can. So that's our ethical culture. That's what people are taught. It's what they're taught in school. It's what they're taught is good. And, hey, they apply it in life.
How do you think we can try and promote the idea that this concept is wrong? Because what it always leads to is this, the simple conclusion. You didn't earn what you created. You didn't deserve what you earned. What you earned is the product of someone else. And it always leads to this. Somebody should take it from you. Somebody who's more altruistic than you will properly take care of that money that should go towards someone else. I mean, I didn't discover this until, I mean, heck, you bring up that you're a subscriber to the Objectivist School of Thought. I didn't really understand this until reading The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And even then, as I'm learning these ideas, as I'm asking these questions about selfishness and the root of money and everything else, I'm being told that's the wrong way you're thinking. And I know there are others like me. I mean, you and I have a very similar thought on this. Do you think it's something that individuals themselves are going to have to break free of? Or do you think it's something that we could push out there and hopefully people will listen to us? I mean, how do we break this barrier between the idea that money is bad and, you know, rational selfishness is just wrong?
Well, I would say promoting the ideas of Ayn Rand is one way, but I think there's a whole tradition in ethics that's eudaimonistic ethics. It goes back to Aristotle. And there's the sort of bourgeois ethical outlook that, say, Ben Franklin advocated. There is a body of ethics there, and it's not only Ayn Rand's ethics, but other ethicists that are ethics about living and flourishing as an individual or living and flourishing in a commercial and mercantile society. So we need to do a better job of just teaching people about the principles for living effectively. And we need to ask people who advocate self-sacrifice a real question. And that is the one you were asking earlier. What do you think somebody who's succeeding in honest trade, what do you think they're stealing? What do you think they're destroying? What do you think they're taking from others? Because in real business trade is voluntary exchange and mutual benefit. It's win-win. You don't go to a shop and spend your money if you're rational at all. You don't do that unless you expect to be better off with the things you buy than you were with your money. And the store would be happier to have the money. That's a win-win interaction. That's not taking or looting or robbing. It's none of those things.
Exactly. Sir, we're going to go ahead and continue this conversation, but first we're going to go ahead and go on our first commercial break. Folks, you're listening to the REMSA Republic with special guest William Thomas from the Atlas Society. Hang on tight. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
remsorepublic.com.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the REMSA Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
What are they teaching our children these days? How can so many young people graduate and become socialists? Do they even know what socialism is? Kids are learning how to preserve the environment, or are they learning how to preserve their own liberty? How about introducing your children to, I don't know, these fundamental principles that helped create the greatest, most prosperous nation in the world? I don't know about you, but when I become a parent, I'm going to read my kids The Chronicles of Kibblestan by Andrea Rand. A little bit of Narnia, a little bit of Atlas Shrugged, kids are loving this exciting saga about a fantastical land's struggle to be free. Filled with humor and suspense, Kibblestan is a treat for any kid, or even adults. I mean, I enjoyed reading it. It's for anyone that enjoys reading fantasy. But also, it has the added bonus of introducing some basic principles of liberty as it constantly ponders the question, what does it take for a land to stay free? There's even questions at the end of each book to facilitate conversation with your children, including a student group or a book club. The Chronicles of Kibblestan by Andrea Rand is currently available on Amazon.com, or you can visit www.kibblestan.com. Liberty is worth preserving. Are you in?
Back to the program. We have William Thomas from the Atlas Society with us tonight. So we've just talked about the difference between the conquest ethic, the difference between, you know, looting and voluntary giving. We've talked about, you know, that capitalism is the most moral thing because it's people that are voluntarily coming together, trading value for value, and they're benefiting from it. There's nothing wrong with that. So here's the other thing. I was public schooled. Well, I was also homeschooled and I was private schooled, but I got my first real taste of the world understanding that, you know, there were people that were different than me. Now, just kind of a full disclosure, I'm a self-identified libertarian. I'm a practicing Christian. I understood that when I was growing up in Northern Virginia for high school during the Obama years, I was going to have people that had a drastically different worldview than I did. And I accepted that. I tolerated that. There's nothing wrong. When it came to me, as long as you don't pick my pocket nor break my back, we can all get along. But here was this issue I had, and I don't understand where it comes with progressives, because throughout my education in high school, I was continually reminded capitalism bad, altruism good, government good, private business bad. And a lot of people just completely ate this up. Students of parents that were very wealthy contractors ate this up. Students of parents that were very wealthy business people ate this up. I don't understand, because you look at many American progressives, the people influencing policy are not poor. So where's this cognitive dissonance coming in? Where's this complete lack of identifying that the people telling you that everything that's, you know, prosperous, everything that can lead to a richer life is bad, but they're living the lifestyle that they're telling you to villainize? Where do you think that mindset kind of popped in?
Well, I think we've got this long-lasting ethical superstructure. It's, you were mentioning progressives, and I come from a family where the Democratic Party was the religion, and therefore I have a lot of progressive relatives, and I went to university, so I've got a lot of progressive friends. And one of the things I notice among progressives is that they tend in their own lives to try to live and be happy. They are success-oriented. They're hardworking. They have these characteristics, and they like nice luxuries too. And I think then they end up embracing a worldview where everyone is just naturally selfish and driven to do these things, that they can't help being successful. That's just, you know, who they are. Most people don't feel comfortable feeling super special themselves. So then they get a worldview where there's something evil about the whole system that lets them succeed, and that there's something suspicious about having made some wealth in their lives. And I've never really understood that, because once I started to think about all these issues, it just didn't seem that way to me.
Yeah.
I'll also...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to also add, I don't want this to be any secret to your listeners, at the Atlas Society, we research and advocate the philosophy of objectivism founded by Ayn Rand. And if someone would be interested in seeing learning about a ethical antidote to some of the ideas we've been talking about here, reading some of Ayn Rand's novels, such as The Fountainhead or Atlas Shrugged, would be a good first step to doing that. Or, say, reading her ethical book, which is called The Virtue of Selfishness. And we might talk about what she means by selfishness as we continue.
Exactly. And that's actually where we're going to start up right now. The thing that really changed my life was reading The Fountainhead. And then after that, I read Atlas Shrugged. I'm an odd person. I'll go ahead and admit that now. In my lifetime, I've read Atlas Shrugged twice. And I really had no social life as a teenager. But The Fountainhead was really what changed me, because the character of Rourke, he's, you know, people read it and you've got two schools of thought. You've got people that think he's just a jerk, he's an asshole. And then you have people like me who are like, this guy's onto something. I want to be like that guy. I want to go out and create the things I want to create because I want to create them. I want to go out and do the things I want to do because I want to do them. It might not satisfy other people, but it brings meaning to my life. So when I say selfishness, people see evil. But when I see it pursuing your own dreams, your own opportunities. So if you can kind of break it down Barney style for people that are just, you know, trying to figure out what we're talking about, what is selfishness through the objectivist lens?
Well, let me first say that when we use selfishness in the normal terms that it's used in English, it's kind of a package deal. It's a package deal which I think combines the idea that you're pursuing your own well-being with the idea of that I call solipsism, the idea that other people don't exist. So selfish people in this traditional view are supposed to just walk all over other people. They're supposed to just crush other people. They're supposed to want to murder other people. That's what selfishness is. And they're supposed to be just totally immoral and uncontrolled. Well, Ayn Rand had a very different idea about this. She said, well, what really is in your interest? If you want to live and be happy, what really is? Well, you're going to need moral principles. You're going to need integrity. You're going to need principles of dealing with people justly. You're going to need to be a virtuous person in a whole variety of ways. And you're going to have to think long term. You can't just act on the moment. And newsflash, other people exist. Other people have just as much right to pursue their own happiness. Other people are wonderful. Most other people are just great. They produce wonderful things. They're often great to know. They're your friends. They're your lovers, your family. They're all these wonderful people around you, your customers, your clients, you know, your colleagues, all those things. And those people are, you know, they're wonderful people. They do wonderful things. Wouldn't you want to benefit from them in your life? If you're trying to live and be happy, wouldn't great relations with lots of awesome people be what it's all about? So that's the bedrock idea here, is that if we really think what it means to try and live and be happy, to be selfish, where what we mean is really taking care of yourself, it means having good relations with other people. It means being an independent and productive person. That's what it really means.
Exactly. I mean, exactly. And I think, you know, it's weird. It's weird because you've got two different people when you bring up Ayn Rand. You've got the people that hate her and the people that love her. And the people that hate her think that she's evil, she's malicious, and all this other stuff. And the thing about her is, when you look at objectivism, when you look at everything you just said, it's peaceful. It promotes a common virtue, an ethic. It promotes tolerance. It promotes cooperation of people. This is the most peaceful form of voluntary action there is. And yeah, go ahead.
No, absolutely. I was going to say that for Rand to deal with other people by trade, never forcing them, always interacting with them on the basis of mutual benefit, where you're offering a value in exchange for a value. So living by trade is one of the key social virtues, that is how to live with other people. And that's not killing them. That's not making war on them. That's not exploiting them in a cruel fashion. That's trying to get into a win-win relationship with the people you deal with.
Exactly. I mean, one of the first books on, you know, the philosophy and I'm sorry, the philosophy of liberty and the concept of economics was Frederick Bastiat's The Law. And he says in there, if goods don't cross borders, soldiers will.
And very true. Very true. Trade is in general, commercial trade in that sense, what Bastiat's talking about is functions on a different principle than warfare does.
Exactly. And I don't understand this. I just don't understand this. And you brought this up earlier. It's that progressives, they start to demonize themselves. They start to say, I'm not special. They start to say, I owe more to other people. Do you think that this is a natural function within human beings? Do you think that this is something that is just intrinsic to each of us? Or do you think that this is something forced? Because I believe that this is forced on people. I think that, you know, academia has forced this concept on people. I think that the media and entertainment has forced this concept on people. And you mentioned a while back that it's also coming from the worldviews that we have, whether they be biblical or secular. So do you think it leans on one end versus the other more? Or, you know, how do you view it? Do you think it's intrinsic or do you think it's forced?
Well, I think we have to distinguish between two things. One is, why do people, I mean, the two things are sort of people's education and the incentives they face in the culture. And the other is just things about human nature that create a problem. And see, the thing is, as human beings, we don't automatically act for our own interests. People engage in self-sacrifice all the time. Look at all the fashion for suicide bombing. I mean, really. there you go. Quod erat demonstratum. But this happens on a much more quiet sense. For people to actually be engaged with their own lives fully requires really focusing on what is your interest and what is good for you. And you mentioned The Fountainhead earlier. And one of the cool things about Howard Roark, the hero of The Fountainhead, and one of the things that just hits you in the head when you read it, is that he basically doesn't care what other people think. I mean, it's not like he hates other people or wants bad relationships with them. It's just that when he's judging himself, he doesn't care what other people think when he gets right down to it. He's judging himself by how well he's living up to his own standards and how well he's dealing with the world in general. That's what he's judging himself by. And in doing that, Rourke is exemplifying what's an incredible virtue and something that's very hard for us. And I think this is because human beings are social animals. And we've got a kind of tendency in us. We're brought up in families. We're brought up in, we now go to schools throughout our whole childhood. We're always being judged by other people. We're always having our self-esteem set by other people, with other people telling us what to do. And I think then people become adults and they want to feel good in terms of the culture. They want to feel like they're fitting into the group. And how do you do that? Well, you preach self-sacrifice and you poo-poo wealth. That's how you do it.
Exactly. Sir, we're going to continue this conversation, but folks, we're going to go ahead and hit our final commercial break. You're listening to the REMSA Republic. Hold on tight. We'll be back in a moment.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
remsorepublic.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Merced Cast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Comments is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcasts and Blogging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program. We're going to continue our conversation but we're going to kind of pivot at this point. We've talked about why people hate the idea of selfishness. We've talked about the virtues of capitalism to that degree. But I want to mention something I kind of brought up earlier. It's this idea that there is a stigma that money is evil. Now, I know I'm kind of reaching back a little bit, but Let me just bring up a quick story before we kind of continue from here. Folks, I've been doing this for 9 months now. And something I learned was that if I wanted to be able to pay overhead for my staff, if I wanted to be able to invest in my show, if I wanted to be able to focus a lot more time on this and less on work I don't really enjoy, I had to become an entrepreneur. I was a accidental entrepreneur. And I had to start networking. I know myself. I know I do not have all the answers to what I need. And networking was a big part of it. And as I started to encounter other young entrepreneurs, young, really brilliant people that were trying to go make their way out in the market, they asked me why I'm doing this. You know, I'm at a function. The guy's like, "So why are you here?" And I'm like, I want to make money. As soon as I said that, you must have thought that I had slapped someone's mom upside the head in public, because everyone just looks at you and they're like, well, I'm doing this because I want to support my family and I want to help give to charity and I want to be a benefactor and I want to help out all these charities and other stuff. And everyone suddenly talks about how they don't want to be rich at all. They don't want to make money from this. They want to create value and then just disperse it to the masses. I became Mr. Hyde in a crowd of Jekylls really fast. And it suddenly reminded me of the part of Atlas Shrugged where Hank Reardon is sitting with his family and he's like, I just want to make money. It reminds me of the Francisco D'Anconia speech where he says, money's not evil. We're the ones that put purpose behind this. So, sir, my question to kind of set things up for our audience is money evil? We've already discussed that capitalism is good, but is money inherently evil? Is there something about it which makes us monsters?
No, money's just a tool of exchange. Money is a tool of exchange. It's a wonderful, wonderful tool. But it's a tool of exchange, and the good or evil in it comes from what you do with it and how you use it and how you got it. Now, if you earned your money living by trade and seeking really positive win-win relationships with other people, and the people that gave you money valued the services that you provided them, then your money is a badge of honor. And the more money you can make that way, the more that is a sign. It's like votes you got from people. I mentioned Bill Gates earlier, or let's say, just to take another famous tech titan, think of Steve Jobs, who made millions and millions and millions. Well, all those millions were votes by the people that bought his products saying, these are wonderful products. We're happy to pay the price that you ask for them. We really like them. We really like those products. And so someone who gets money that way, someone who gets money the way you're getting it, which is by providing a service and the people that support you value the service, then the more money you can make, it's just the proof that you're doing something really wonderful in society and that lots of people are benefiting from it.
Exactly. And it's just amazing because these individuals I used as an example earlier, the ones that did not want to become personally wealthy but just wanted to go ahead and distribute their wealth, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, folks. If you want to do that, that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Do with your money what you want to do with it. But this idea that because I don't want to put 99% of my resources into something other than myself, I'm evil, you know, it's just what you just said, sir. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a vote. When you give money to someone else, you're exchanging value for value. You're getting something out of it. And look at people that weren't necessarily charitable, but because of what they put their heart and their soul into, they created something beautiful. You know, you look at Bill Gates, that man is one of the most charitable human beings in the world. And then you compare him to the individual that Steve Jobs was. Steve Jobs was not a nice person. Steve Jobs was not a very charitable person. But because of the technology he made, because of the ability to create something that used to only be for the rich, the extremely wealthy, now I'm seeing people in welfare lines pull out their cell phone. There's something to be said about creating something for yourself that when you put it out for sale, it's going out and improving the lives of others.
Yeah, one of the things about interesting about Jobs compared with Gates is, for one thing, Gates followed Jobs. I mean, in terms of Jobs would innovate on making the technology work, and then Gates would copy it. And Jobs was always out in front of Gates's company in terms of functionality and capabilities. And I say this as a Windows user. It's just, I think that's the history of it. You know, who really mastered the graphical user interface? It was Jobs. You know, who created the smartphone? It was Jobs. And there's a lot in the middle in there too. So that said, when you think about it, if you're thinking about who do you want to deal with more, do you want to have it be only Bill Gates because he's going to promise to give away his money later? Or do you want Steve Jobs and you don't care what he does with his money? as long as you think he's responsible and he's living a decent life himself, you're just perfectly happy for him to have the money because of the wonderful things he's creating. Doesn't it matter more what people do with their lives, what they produce and create? Isn't that what really matters? And whether they gave their money away later, who cares? I mean, that's not bad, but that's not the measure of a man.
Exactly. Sir, to kind of wrap up the show, if there's one big thing you want to push out for our audience, the one biggest thing you want them to take home, what is that?
Don't be ashamed of yourselves. You know, really live and be happy and respect the fact that other people have the moral right to live and be happy too. You know, look for dealing with people where win-win relationships where other people get to win too.
Sir, if people want to learn more about the Atlas Society, Ayn Rand, objectivism, and everything else, where can they go to learn more about that?
We've got a website, atlassociety.org, or check us out on Facebook, Atlas Society. Check us out on Instagram, Atlas Society. We're very available, and we've got lots of information about Ayn Rand and objectivism, or just check out an Ayn Rand novel, The Fountainhead, We the Living, Atlas Shrugged, Great Places to Start.
Outstanding. William Thomas from the Atlas Society, thank you so much for coming on, sir. It was an absolute pleasure having you on.
It was delightful, Remso. Great talking with you.
Folks, I'm a very charitable person. I am a rare individual in the fact that I've been able to live a very Christian worldview while at the same time looking at these objectivist principles and understanding how they apply to my life and how they apply to those around me. And as we keep going forward, I'm not ashamed of success. I'm not ashamed of what I'm doing. I'm not ashamed of where I'm going because it's something I create. It's something that gives purpose to my life. It's something that others value. It's something that I'm doing because I want to change the world around me. Because I want to live in a world where we don't hurt each other. We don't take our stuff. I mean, we don't take each other's stuff. And we can live peacefully. And most importantly, we can profit from each other. And as comedian Daniel Tosh once said, money can't buy happiness, but money can buy a jet ski, and I've never seen an unhappy person on a jet ski. But what's one thing you could do to, you know, help yourself out right now? You can go ahead and subscribe to the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Player.fm, or everywhere. And go ahead and check us out at www.remsorepublic.com. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. Good night, America. Take care.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?